Alaska has a very narrow maritime border between a foreign country, Russia, and on our other side, the land boundary that we
Alaska
have.
Alaska and Russia are only separated by a narrow maritime border. You've got Alaska here, and this right here is water, and then that's up there's Russia.
That was Sarah Palin, followed by Tina Fey doing her celebrated impression of Palin on Saturday Night Live. There's a long tradition in comedy of parodying politicians with their own words, accents, and mannerisms. I remember when I was 7 in 1962 listening to Vaughn Meader's parody of the Kennedys on his album The First Family.
Sir?
Yes?
When will we send a man to the moon?
Whenever Senator Goldwater wants to go.
In the decades since, comedians have lampooned every president from Johnson to Bush, too. Jim Morris is still famous for his eerily precise take on Ronald Reagan. Jim, welcome to the show.
Well, hi. How are you?
Good. Let's talk about Vaughn Meader. His album, The First Family, was huge in its day. It won a Grammy for Album of the Year in 1963.
Now, let me say, I don't see why a person of the Jewish faith can't be president of the United States. I know as a Catholic, I could never vote for him, but other than that...
For the Impressionist, for the working Impressionist, it's certainly an inspiration, and it's a starting point, and it's part of my folk history. Of course, it was a physical impression as well.
And then another Impressionist came along, obviously more versatile than Meader. Probably the quintessential impression of Richard Nixon was David Fries. I remember his head sunken into the chest, arms raised in double peace signs. This was very, very broad, and yet it said something about the guy.
You know, it takes a really good Impressionist to crack the code and to figure out how to do someone. And for me, he was the gold standard.
Take a letter. Dear Dick, I think you're doing a magnificent job. Your public appearances are quite exciting. You are what I would call an activist president. I'll read that back and give it some feeling.
David Fry's impression and all the other impressionists that he influenced created a kind of Nixon that became, I think, in time mixed in our minds with the actual Nixon.
Well, in the public's minds, if you can capture the imagination of the listener and get them to suspend their disbelief, then they go with you. And when they think of that person, they're going to hear your rendition of them in their head. Chevy Chase, when he did his Gerald Ford impression, I would assume that people couldn't look at the president without thinking of him bumping his head.
My fellow Americans, my first announcement is one I think you've all been waiting for. Oh, no problem.
Ford was said to be rather athletic, and yet when Ford died a couple of years ago, many TV news shows played those skits in their commemorations. I mean, it wasn't a great impression, but it was the pop cultural memory we all shared.
That's right. That's right. The Impressionist does have the ability to strike a chord in the same way that an editorial cartoonist might, by accentuating big ears or heavy eyebrows or jowls. It becomes part of our association with that person.
What's the goal? Is the goal just to create a memorable character, a funny character? Are you trying to have an influence on the sort of national dialogue, on our perceptions of our leaders, or is it basically...
you've been reading my mail. I mean, basically, that's how I describe what I do. When I was a kid, I was supposed to respect authority, and through mockery... and getting people to laugh, I was able to cut them down to size a little bit.
So how did you go about crafting your Ronald Reagan?
Well, there was a lot of research involved. Of course, he had quite a life already, well documented. He was a folk figure in America, done a lot of movies, television shows. So for me, it was a matter of immersing myself in this man's life.
When you do an impression of a sitting president... making them laugh is number one, but do you think it serves another purpose?
Well, as an audience member, you feel a moment of superiority over the subject. The playing field is leveled because what you do is you pop that bubble of pomposity that the politician has, and that is very empowering. It's very cathartic. And what I do at the end of my show is I open it up to questions for the president, the sitting president, whoever he may be. the beauty of it is when people forget that I'm just Jim Morris playing a president, and they get angry and they say, but Mr. President, you said, and then everybody shares a laugh. I'm able to take people behind closed doors. That's the power of this art form.
Jim, thank you very, very much.
Well, I appreciate it. God bless you. And just remember that even though Hillary did not get the nomination, I am going to work tirelessly for what was his name again?
Impressionist Jim Morris.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.